live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying.
Yeah! All right, here we go. Friday. I'm looking forward to the weekend. I know Willie is, Griffin is. Maybe we'll go out to dinner to pay off one of these bets. It's not a Willie issue. It's more a me issue. We're hanging out here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Matt Neverett, voice of baseball in Vegas, will get us ready for Aviators weekend and the second half of the baseball season. Willie, it's just about organization. I'm very much a last-minute person, so we just have to make plans.
You know what? If you would spend less time with all your nifty little gadgets, you have become, I mean, you were already a nerd, but now you are beyond a sports journalist nerd. You are a techie.
Yeah.
I mean, sit down at the table at the Mountain West Media Days, and he's got this rotating camera thing going on.
Yeah, the whole thing's out of control.
I mean, Jesus. And by the way,
basically every subject we talked to was like, I can't see you. We had so many lights and cameras. And then you know the worst part is? I look back and I'm like, yeah, none of this is acceptable. We're not using hardly any of it. I'm like, we have to be better. So I was telling Griffin earlier today, I'm like, all right, let's break the budget. Time to get more lights and time to get more auto face finding this and that. So
we'll
get it right someday.
By the way, this might be one of the only weekends that when you said looking forward to the weekend, like we as media, sports media members don't know what weekend, there's no such thing as a weekend. It could pop up at any given time. Like this past week, Monday and Tuesday was a weekend that I get once a year because the All-Star break, the Major League All-Star break, there's no sports betting that I have to worry about writing up. This weekend might be one of those few weekends because training camp gets started next week and we're back to working 7 days a week. So we don't know what weekends are.
It makes it sound like our jobs are hard. They're not. Just time consuming. My weekend is going to be filled with at least one trip to a pool, maybe mine or someone else's. And then Saturday, I think, is Frank the Tank duties. As I will be, it's not actually a honey-do list. It's a honey-me list. I don't know what that means, but I got a lot of stuff to get to.
Will you be the float?
I did want to suggest, because I can't pick a restaurant for these payoffs, right?
Okay.
Phil's Steakhouse down here is tremendous. Unbelievable selection of seafood on the menu. You call it market seafood, right? I don't think I need a lobster tail from you, but beautiful steaks, two different fillets. New York strip, got the bone-in ribeye. We could share that. I was talking to you about sharing a steak. Why don't we go share a steak? Still a little, I was going to say Paige Beckers and AZ Fudd, but no. Let's go. How about we go to Phil's? And here's the move I'm going to pull on you.
Okay.
Because we discussed this about, I don't know if you were in or not. Griffin and I discussed this. I took Griffin out. I was like, hey, buddy, great job. Let's go get some dinner. So I take him to a certain place. We don't have to mention it. Take him to a certain place. We sit down, we have a meal, and then the server comes up, and they're like, yeah, it's all taken care of.
You did that happen with us.
Oh, it happened with you, too? Because I was looking at Phil's menu, and I was like, hey, you know what? T.I. might have to call upstairs.
Remember
I'm at a dinner for two for Cofield. And then we go through the whole dinner, and I'm like, here you go, Willie. Yeah. Here you go, my treat.
We discussed this last month. See, this is why you don't pay attention.
I just thought of another one.
Last month,
I think I can get us into Phil's.
Last month, we were up at one of our places, one of the sponsors. It's the place that you brought up that you were when we first brought up eating Big Mac so fast, and you was like, I watched you engulf a burger. We sat down and did the show, owner comes over and he says, well, have something, take something. Order. I want you to order something. Get the signature steak. So I get, and I said, okay, but I got to take it home. I can't stay and eat. Packed it all up. He goes, no, you're good. But in between, you're like, well, let me ask you a question. If you get something, can I chalk it? And I said yes, like an idiot. And you were like, no. I'll honor it.
I would never do that.
Yeah, so.
I'm kidding. I would never do that. If we make a bet and it's a dinner bet, I'm not going to freaking, you know, flex a comp on you and be like, I'm out. No. Well, I'm actually going to pay for it. Come on now. I will treat you to a comp meal as well. But that's not paying off the bet. Matt Neverett, I'll tell you, that guy. We go on the road with UNLV. He never pays for any. No, yeah, he pays. Let's bring in Matt. See, that doesn't sound very grateful. He's always nice enough to join us on Fridays. Voice of baseball in Las Vegas tonight is just a wild, massive night for collectors. I hope Matt grabs some video of Harry Potter jersey night. What's going on, Neverett?
Hey, what's going on? I think with that intro, Steve, I may never buy food on the road again.
You shouldn't. We do a pretty good job of splitting stuff. I think we do.
Matt, just hit him with an Ingardium Levioso wand and make him disappear, please.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Harry Potter Night's always one of the fun promotions that we do every year. It's kind of taken on a life of its own as far as people wanting and requesting their specific house. It's a jersey or T-shirt giveaway this year. It's a jersey. The four houses. It used to be that they would have four different boxes, and you'd walk in, and they'd go, all right, which one do you want? And then all the Gryffindors are gone, and you're stuck with a Hufflepuff. But this year, they're doing it a little differently. It comes in a pre-sealed black plastic bag, and you're able to pick a size, but you don't know what house you're going to get until you get in. So there's always a lot of trading and bartering. We're bringing back a trading and bartering economy here at Las Vegas Ballpark.
I personally would want a Slytherin, number one. Number two, how many people show up with Harry Potter glasses and drawn-on scar?
Far too many. I mean, you would think that we were in London in the mid-2000s in the prime J.K. Rowling era. Somehow I forgot my glasses and my scar makeup, but I think that'll be taken care of for sure by a lot of the fans.
Matt, let's get into the second half of baseball, but by doing it, I got to close out the first. Get your thoughts on what did you enjoy more, the home run off at the end of the All-Star game or the home run derby, which frankly there was controversy, at least with us, because I don't think the players knew about the tiebreaker. They didn't know about the distance home run. Brent Rooker of the A's was kind of peeved about the whole freaking thing.
Yeah, I would be too. I mean, if I lost a home run derby by less than a foot or didn't advance by less than a foot, I think I'd be a little miffed too. You know, I love the introduction and the inclusion of all this technology and all the great, you know, metrics that we're able to have now in baseball. But that's a time where keep it simple, stupid. I'm a fan of the KISS method when it comes to that. You know, you had that swing off at the end of the home run derby, a la the old home run derby styles, or at the end of the All-Star game, rather. And it was basically, hey, let's go back to the normal home run derby when it counts to decide the All-Star game, but not the way that we do it for the derby. I think they need to go back personally. I'm a fan of the old home run derbies. I still think about the one with Josh Hamilton hitting him out of Yankee Stadium almost at will. It's just too complicated. There's too much going on. Like you said, the players don't even know all the rules. It really shouldn't be that hard, and for a long time it wasn't.
Good, Willie.
Oh, I was – okay. I was going to move on, and I want to talk about we're going to bring up – before we talk about the Blue Jays, this has been gnawing at me. This has been gnawing at me for about a month and a half just because I love watching this kid pitch. Paul Skeens. This dude is making history for all the wrong reasons, Matt. Okay? First pitcher in MLB history to make 20 or more starts in the first half of a season, have an ERA below 3, but not more than 4 wins. His ERA is 2.01. This kid cannot get run support for the life of him.
And it's tough. I mean, I'm a Pirates guy. My dad had worked for them calling games for a number of years. I called games for their affiliate in Bradenton for a couple of years. It's one of those teams that I wish I could quit. You know, it's like the hot but crazy girlfriend. I wish I could quit you, but I'm already too deep invested. You know, I already got too much at stake in some of their minor league prospects. So it really sucks, like plain and simple. And then Mitch Keller, too. He's obviously not having the level of dominance that Skeens has had, but he, a very similar vein, has been excellent with just no run support. And this is year 6 of the rebuild for the Pirates. This is year 6 of the current GM and president combo, and they're not any better than they were 6 years ago. The issue is, and I've been saying this all year, is if you're going to fire the GM and you're going to fire the president, they already fired the manager, do it all before the draft, because you're going to let this front office that has really struggled to develop offensive talent and, you know, I really identify the offensive talent in the first place, do another draft, go through another trade deadline, get all the way to the end of the year, and then you're going to be behind the eight ball if you fire them come September. I think the Nationals did it right from a timing perspective, just clearing house before the draft, let somebody new come in and really guide the new direction of the franchise.
How much in jeopardy is this team of losing this kid the same way they lost Garrett Cole?
Oh, very much so. Unless they, you know, have a massive turnaround quickly, I don't think they're going to trade him at all before his rookie deal is done. I think that is a given with the value that they're going to get out of him. I mean, O'Neill Cruz is making the minimum as well. Your most exciting players on both ends of the ball are both making under $1 million a year. So you got to ride that out as long as you can get it. It's going to take a new front office in my eyes and a real change of perspective from the owner, Bob Nutting, who historically doesn't spend. If they want to keep this kid, I will say, as you know, I lived in Pittsburgh for a while, still talk to my friends back there a lot. The day that Paul Skenes leave, if, God forbid, that does ever happen, there will be riots down Federal Street right next to the ballpark. It is going to be a sad day in the history of Pittsburgh baseball if that occurs.
Speaking with Matt Neverett, play-by-play announcer for UNLV and the Aviators. Big weekend, home weekend for the Aviators tonight, Harry Potter night. Tonight, or tomorrow, I'll be out there, and you and I'll catch up. We'll touch on that in just a second. Big happening out there. Toronto Blue Jays. Somebody says they're not a real first-place team. I don't know what Michael Kay is talking about, because they're in first place, and they're for real.
Yeah, that's Michael Kay. Obviously, I've got a little bit of anti-New York bias in saying that. I can see where he's coming from. They've had kind of a soft schedule. They've had more home games than either the Red Sox or the Yankees. I can see both sides of it. I'm sure the presentation from Kay, kind of, if you're not a Yankees fan, you're kind of saying, all right, come on. I don't necessarily disagree with him. I think the Yankees and the Red Sox are both going to be super aggressive at the trade deadline. I think ask again in a month if I think that the Blue Jays, A, are still in first place, or B, you know, deservingly there. If they're in first place in a month, then so be it. That is a genuine first-place team coming out of the trade deadline. Right now, they've got the Red Sox and the Yankees breathing down their throat. Don't forget about the Rays, who are just 3.5 games back of them, or a little bit more than that, but 4.5 back. This is going to be a really tight AL East, reminiscent of the mid to late 2000s when that was the best division in baseball. I think we start to see that kind of trend again, but it's all going to depend on the deadline as far as whether or not to take Toronto seriously towards the back end of the year.
Yeah, Key based it on run differential, and that didn't get out, just the headline that they're not a real first-place team. But Michael Kay seems like a really nice guy, and he is a talk show host in New York, and he's done well doing that. But I was a little thrown off because he's gotten a bunch of guff from Blue Jays fans, and he talked about he's all worked up about this. He said, I'm a damaged freak. I wish I could simply be a guy who does the game and just doesn't have Mets fans coming at me and Blue Jays fan now. It wears on you. It really does. Mike, relax.
Yeah, what is this? Is he in therapy? What's going on?
I don't know. I'm like, you gave a baseball take. You are the Yankees announcer. Don't take offense to it, because I think Canadians don't like most of us right now things that are going on at a higher level. Like, they're going to give it to us, man. What do you want? Okay. Adjusted MLB win totals came out, and we got a bunch of games going on. You know, before I mention that, I do have to update the audience. Come on, A's. They come out of the gates here. Sears is getting blasted. Kurtz just made an error. They're getting no hit. It's the fourth inning. It's 7-0. Come on. Man, how about a strong start to the second half? Although, I do have to mention, I do think Nick Kurtz deserves some love at the All-Star break. He should have been in the Home Run Derby. Maybe he should have been in the game like Mizorowski. I didn't think Kurtz got enough love from baseball at the break.
Yeah, I would imagine he would have hit more than 3 home runs like Jazz Chisholm did in the Home Run Derby. You would assume he'd have a little bit more than that. There's a lot of guys that would have had more than Jazz. It's only because he's cool on Instagram, right? But I digress on that. I do think that this A's team, with as young as they are, probably couldn't have timed this All-Star break any worse. They're one of those teams where when they're going, they want to keep going. And, they really struggle when they get time off. They've struggled in situations where they played a bunch of home games in a row. So, I mean, this is an A's team that, you know, like we talked about all year, tons of talent, really young, really exciting, but they kind of find themselves in lulls. And coming off of an All-Star break, that's when you kind of see the veteran leadership shine through in a lot of scenarios, especially that first day. And, you know, Cleveland is what they are. They're not a crazy high-scoring team. So for them to come out and score 7 in the first 3-plus innings, it's kind of telling about the difference in one clubhouse versus the other coming out of a, you know, 3-4 day break.
Adjusted win totals, big changes for the second half. I recommended 3 overs. Tell me if I'm crazy on any of these. I think it will be a good second half. Now, it's all relative because win totals drop down for teams that got off to poor starts. I like backing the teams that people are like, they stink. Okay, I think these three teams are going to have big second halves, at least all relative to their win total. I took the Braves, the Guardians, and the Rockies. The Rockies need to go 18-38 in the second half to surpass their adjusted win total of 39.5.
Jeez. I mean, that's, you know, as crazy as it sounds, all they got to do is play 20 under baseball, and they win you that bet. I actually don't hate that. They're kind of finding their footing. You know, context matters. They're finding their footing. They're going from like a 1 to a 2 on a 1 to 10 scale. I like the Atlanta one because they can't really play any worse, and they're getting guys back fully healthy. I think if the pitching comes around, that offense is going to be just fine. And the Guardians, I always am a fan of Guardians in the second half, especially if they make any kind of moves or motion at the deadline. Detroit's going to run away with that division. It's going to be about getting that second or third wild card spot. And I think with the way that they run that team, they're going to be consistent from now until the end of the year with what they do and their MO on and off the field. And I love Steven Vogt as a manager. I actually really like it. I think out of those three, I like the Cleveland one the best.
I'm going to make up a prop because I don't think you can bet this anywhere. The A's have – oh, that is so perfect. Get up! And get out! All right, that was perfect. The vibe was felt. Everyone's like, what the hell is Cofield doing? There's 64 games left. I think the Home Run Derby is going to launch Brent Rooker into a massive second half. And in 64 games, I think he's going to hit 20 home runs. I think he's going to have a 40-homer year. And by the way, he just hit number 21 as I was introing that. God, I'm good at this. I think he's going to have a massive second half.
Yeah, there's a reason. You're a grizzled veteran for a reason, Cofield. You know, he's a guy who's had 40 home runs in the past. He's even said, they asked him about his preparation for the Home Run Derby. And you've heard in the past, like, oh, the Derby messed up so-and-so swing. He had a very nonchalant thought process about it. He said, every swing I've ever taken in my entire career has been to try to hit a home run. So what's going to be different about this? Just slower pitching and less people in front of me playing defense. So, you know, he's a guy that's not going to get too high or too low. On a lot of other teams, he'd be about the median age. He is one of the veteran leaders on this A's team. So I think if he's able to have a strong second half, they can figure some things out offensively as well. For the A's, it's the pitching. But I think that Brent Rooker, like you had said, is going to have a big second half. He now only needs 19 to get to 40. So right on cue.
There you go. My God, he almost went down to a knee. What a freaking bomb to left field. Okay, we got to close on this one. I have seen Matt Nevert in the wild. He's got it. He's got the sizzle. He's a little bit younger than us. Question of the day for everyone who's been on the show, Matt. We got running of the Bulls right now. Pamplona. You probably don't have much time left from an age standpoint. Would you do it?
It would depend who I'm doing it with.
Okay.
I would say if I am the fastest runner in the group, maybe.
Oh, yeah. So you and I going, you're like, okay, yeah, let's go, Cofield. And you just watch me get slaughtered as you look over your shoulder.
Yeah, it's like, you know, running away from a bear. You don't got to be the fastest. You just got to be not the slowest. I think in this regard, it's kind of the opposite. I think I would do it in all seriousness. I think I would be one of those guys like on the side right at the beginning and then get the hell out of the way. But I'd be interested to see for the culture, and I can only imagine that the food surrounding it is great.
So, Matt, let me ask you, where this is actually going to be the final note we're going to let you go on. You and I talked over at Mountain West Media Days. Big special night tomorrow night out at the ballpark. Who has been, out of the games that you have called, who's been your favorite or for you something special as far as throwing out the first pitch?
Ooh, throwing out the first pitch. Well, we've had both Josh Pastner and Dan Mullen throughout the first pitch this year, so that's good. Blue Man Group always does a really good job. They always do some really funny stuff. I like watching the little kids, the younger the better, mostly because I want to see our bullpen catcher, Jared, who catches the first pitch, get out of the squad. I want to see some athleticism back there. So I do like those. Blue Man Group typically does some crazy stuff, so I might go with them.
Tomorrow night you're going to have something special to talk about as you lead into the game. Kalen Chio is a Las Vegas Henderson native, I should say, product of Gymcats. She just had an unbelievable freshman year, took the gymnastics world by storm at LSU. She will be one of the top, if not the top, gymnasts next year, challenging for the overall national title. She won the national vault title, led LSU to the Elite Eight. They were the defending champs. She will be throwing out the first pitch tomorrow. I will be out there as well, so it should be a good time.
Yeah, I'm excited. She's going to come up and join me on the air in the fourth inning as well. We may or may not let you in the booth, Willie, but we'll have to see how I'm feeling in the morning.
Sounds good.
Very temperamental, Matt and Everett on game days. Matt, we appreciate it. Enjoy tonight, and I'll take a Hufflepuff.
Absolutely. I got you. I already got Nick Murphy a Ravenclaw.
Look at you. Unbelievable. Nick doesn't even work with us anymore. Think about me first and my jersey.
He reached out a week ago, so he was on it.
I'm very last minute. All right, Matt, we'll talk to you, buddy.
Take care, guys, anytime.
There he is. Matt Neverett coming up. We got Arash Markazi. We'll get the L.A. report, talk some sandwiches, and also find out if he, like me, is a Hufflepuff. California.
Mr. L.A., Mr. Vegas, Arash Markazi joins Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Good times here at Treasure Island on a Friday. It's a no-conflict Friday. Willie and I have been very nice to each other, except when we started yelling about paying off bets. Willie, Dan, one of our favorite listeners, just came up to the table. He's one of our favorites because he brings us cookies.
Oh, yeah.
And he was going in the Wayback Machine. I'll tell you about it in the grab bag. But let's bring in Arash Markazi. He of immense fame with his own sandwich. Not only at Ike's, but also he got a Mr. Vegas sandwich before Adam Hill did. Arash, I don't know if you could hear last week when you called in here well, but Adam Hill repeatedly said it's just a brief menu item. Don't fall in love with it, that it's not permanent. What do you think of his reaction? It seems kind of childish, infantile, and kind of jealous.
Listen, it's sour grapes. I would expect nothing else from Adam Hill. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I got a sandwich at T-Mobile before he did. I got a sandwich at Naked City Pizza before he did. And the Ike sandwich that has been there for years, that is not temporary. So listen, Adam, you can cry about it all you want, but I did it before you did.
I just want to mention the brand new spicy chicken sandwich here at Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar is brought to you by Arash Markazi.
There we go. I like that.
Willie? William?
I have no sandwiches named after me, and so I have nothing to say.
Wow, that sounded kind of bitter and jealous.
By the way, what a modest thing for Willie to say, the man who walks into establishments that are closed, and it's like having a private chef, and we won't get into that again, but listen, my friend over there is being extremely modest.
Well, I don't have anything named after me, but what I can do is order off the menu whenever I want.
Yes.
Exactly,
hey,
yes.
Hey, I'd like the bread. Oh, you don't have any made? Make the bread. I'm Willie Ramirez.
real quick, by the way, just to point out, the skills competition is over, and Natasha Cloud from the New York Liberty just won it.
I got a
message before the from Tyler Marsh, the former assistant from the Aces. I gave him my predictions, and he said, I got T-Cloud in the skills. She won it.
I had it 3-1.
No, you didn't. Go ahead.
Nailed it.
No, you didn't.
Why are you questioning me?
Because you did it. Because you're not on record. I didn't hear you say it.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
Arash, let's talk about this weekend. First of all, I saw Sporting Tribune is all over this, so I was wondering about the coverage that you guys have, because I know you got some hooks into the indie market. And what's going on with Kelsey Plum? Does she have some sort of plumberry? What is this? What is she pushing here?
Well, listen, shoes are very important. Fashion is very important. So Kelsey Plum, as everyone knows, in Vegas, is very fashionable. So she's got her Plumberry. Listen, I'm not out there, but we got our reporter, Shanice Nicole, is out there really covering not just what's happening on the court, right, but like the red carpet events, who's wearing what. So these Plumberries look very cool.
Yeah, and I literally, during the break, I just saw a post where she gifted her Plumberry PEs to a fan, and then she was in there must be like a, maybe it's a frozen yogurt or an ice cream or something, because she was giving out cups of Plumberry. So, and you know what? What's really disheartening to this day is we're still seeing fans come at her with snarky remarks like, oh, yeah, trying to make up for this, or doesn't do this, or surprised that she showed up, all because of the one day that went viral because a fan creeped her out because they were showing up to a secondary backup hotel when there were too many fans at the first one. They left on the bus. She gets off the bus, and they and those fans that they were getting away from already had found out. So
Willie,
this is go ahead.
Let's real quick. I got involved in this because I was a beat reporter for a long time. These are not. I mean, I don't want to say that they're not fans, but that person waiting outside of the hotel, that is a collector. That is someone who wants Kelsey Plum to sign, you know, 10 pages of cards, and he's going to go. And listen, that's how he makes a living. I don't want to knock that, but this notion that that was like a father outside with his daughter, and can you sign her shoe?
Right.
Like, listen, these are professionals. And so my issue was that I didn't like how that was framed, that she turned down a fan. This is not a fan. This is a professional collector who's waiting outside with 10 balls, you know, two books of cards, trying to get her to sign as many things as he possibly can.
And not just that. I will reiterate. They were just getting off of the bus from coming from the hotel that they checked out at. And yep. They came from the hotel to the new hotel. And yet they were there. So where's the leak? That was where the phrase came from, where she said, I'm a little turned off right now. She was creeped out because they just left the hotel for that reason, and they show up at the next one. And how did you find out that quick that they got that they were at the backup hotel? That was even on top of all of what you just said. So, yeah, Kelsey Plum has always been for the fans, always, since day one, when she was in San Antonio, before that franchise came here. So let's back off.
Yeah.
Arash Markazi, Sporting Tribune. Arash, Atlanta, All-Star Game, thoughts?
I had a great time. Listen, very quick, it's a unique All-Star Game where it's not the weekend, right? Most All-Star Games, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I've covered enough to know that you get there on Monday for media day, workout, home run derby. The game is on Tuesday, and that's pretty much it. It is also the most unique game, and I was talking to a couple of the younger reporters there. I said, enjoy the beginning of the game, because as soon as the starters come out, We're going to be camped outside the clubhouse. I mean, Shohei Ohtani was dressed and ready to go, I don't know, by the fifth inning or the sixth inning. So it is the most unique game. But the like access to the players, and I've told younger reporters this, like for someone like Shohei, it'll be the most time that we spend with him. I mean, he talked to the media for 20 minutes. Most times post game, and he doesn't like always talk, maybe 6 minutes, maybe seven. So again, I had a good time. Next year it's in Philadelphia, I think. So yeah, I had a really good time.
So you're telling me that Shohei couldn't have raced back to the park to hit in the home run off? Because I think a lot of people misunderstood what's going on, but here's the problem, Arash. We never know what's going on with baseball because we don't know the rules. They seem to change things. We're not made aware of it. So that the reaction on social media to that makeshift home run derby to decide the winner was crazy, because initially people were like, this sucks. Where are all the stars? And then as they watch it unfold, they're like, oh, my God, Kyle Schwarber's awesome. Like, it worked. But the negative attention for a little bit around, like, where are the biggest stars? But baseball didn't explain it, and the story kind of barely trickled out since. Like, they weren't available, and those home run lineups were actually picked way in advance.
Yeah, so the way Dave Roberts picked it was, I mean, he basically looked at who's going to be playing at the end of the game. So he is very upfront with these guys, like, hey, guys, like, who's trying to get out of here early? Who's hopping on, like, a flight during the game? And again, I get why baseball and why Fox isn't going to highlight that, because it makes it look like this game is right. not important. But really, it is the most fascinating thing. Like even back in the day with the Pro Bowl, and we all kind of joked about the Pro Bowl, when someone got subbed out, they didn't go back to the locker room and dress right. and leave. Like, they were there. So, you know, why did Shohei, like, why was Shohei not on the swing off? Shohei was on a plane by that point. Like, yeah. he was not even in the ballpark.
Arash is with us on Cofield & Company, Sporting Tribune, at Sporting Trib, up on Twitter. I was going to say on a more serious note, but it's not serious. It's actually a happy moment. What was it like being around Clayton Kershaw? What was his reaction? That was a nice deal.
Yeah.
It was so surreal because I made it a point to listen. He had never been mic'd up before, and he will never be mic'd up again. I mean, this is something that he's not done. But listen, I mean, he knew that he was only going to be there for two outs. Really, like, you know, let's be honest, like, didn't deserve to be there. But, you know, as the Legends pick, he didn't take a spot from someone else. He got a curtain call. It's a little weird in the sense that he's not announced that this is his last season. But I think that there's this feeling that at some point he'll say, this is it for him. But he was great. And again, the highlight for me, and if you go to my Twitter or like social, like, Pedro Martinez was out with his family when he left the press conference, and Pedro was just so happy to see him, and he got to meet Pedro's son and take a picture. So you know, that was a highlight.
How big was the Japanese media throng for both Otani and Yamamoto?
Huge. Not as big for Yamamoto, just because he did not pitch. But for Shohei, it's massive. Again, I mean, that is why the media is there. So, you know, the moment that Shohei got pulled from the game, every member of the Japanese media left the press box. They were in the press conference room. It was packed. They all stayed for the end of the game. But by the way, like, the number of media that was not familiar with the swing off, like, I totally get why the fans would be confused, because a lot of the media was like, oh, that's right, we're doing swing off home run derby thing right now.
It's incredible. Arash is up with Willie and Cofield. On the field, Dodgers second half, and really off the field too, with GMing and acquisitions. I know you guys have been talking about this on the Sporting Trib live show. What are the Dodgers going to do? What should they do? Do they need more bullpen help? Because all of a sudden the bullpen got beat to hell and in some ways is ineffective. I mean, do they need more bats? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they will always be looking and always be sort of like active in trying to improve the team. And that's one of the most, you know, I give them credit for that. They are not just comfortable being at the top of the division or the top of the league. I mean, if there's a trade to be had out there that's going to improve the team, they will look to do that. The most important thing for this team is, though, they are getting healthier. You know, they got Tyler Glass now back right before the break. They're going to get Blake Snell back now post-break. Shohei Ohtani is going to be pitching on Monday, and again, he's beginning to ramp up where, you know, it goes from one inning to two to three to four. And so they don't need to make a move, Steve, but I really would be surprised if they don't do something.
Let's hit the Lakers and the Summer League. And it's funny, Mateo, who sets up the show for us here, and he was down at the Summer League a bunch around us setting up shows. Before we went on the air, he's like, my God, Bronny and his popularity, and people just go crazy. I mean, he is good for business with the Summer League, and there's a real fan following with LeBron James' kid.
Yeah, listen, I saw that in high school when he was at Sierra Canyon. You saw that during his 1 year at USC. You certainly saw that in his one season with the South Bay Lakers. Again, they play in a gym, basically, in the Lakers practice facility, but all those games are sold out. They sell his jerseys, so here's the thing about Bronny is that because of who he is, you know, people are saying, well, that's the reason he got picked. That's the reason he's in the league and whatnot. The fact of the matter is, when you look at what he's done in the G League, if you look at his development and how much he's improved from the summer league a year ago to now, he really can be a good role player. He can be a player that helps your team win. This is not a charity case. And I know it was low-hanging fruit to say that, but he's not playing right now because he's LeBron's son. I mean, like, if you just look at his development and look at what he has done, he is going to be a part of the Lakers rotation because he deserves to be.
Speaking with Arash Markazi, CEO of the Sporting Tribune. Arash, USC, I saw a video of some stunad, I'll just say, videoing Juju Watkins. I think she was walking through the airport, and he was asking a bunch of silly questions. But nevertheless, she was walking. Have you heard anything as a former fight on? as far as what she may be doing, we're waiting to see if she, I don't think she'll be ready to start the season, but will she come back for the second half when the conference play starts? What do you know, or what have you heard?
Listen, the goal is for her to play at some point this season, right? I mean, again, like she ideally would like to be ready for March Madness, and we've been texting back and forth, Willie. What you have there is that possibility of a amazing dynamic duo in college basketball with Jazzy Davidson and Juju Watkins. Now, the thing with Juju, they do not want to rush her. I mean, they really told her to look at Paige Buecher's comeback from UConn. You know, like, if you need to take a year off, like, take a year off. But, I mean, she's really pushing forward with the hope that she'll be ready at some point the second half of the season, but really putting herself in position to potentially be healthy for the tournament.
Yeah, and I did get on the phone with Jazzy Davidson from Chechia. They played today. That will be up on the Sporting Tribune, as you always love those Monday morning features, so that'll be on the Sporting Tribune. And let's hope USA continues to move on. They had a tough one today against France. Jazzy had a rough game, but she did give us some time overseas, so that'll be a cool story. And I'd love to see those two play together.
Arash, last two. We'll get you out of here. One, this is news that was out about a week ago, but I'm always intrigued by L.A. legendary eateries. Are we losing one in downtown L.A., another one of the French dip joints?
Yeah, so Kohl's in downtown that's been around for 100 years. I mean, they're claiming to fame. Them and Philippe's have kind of gone back and forth. You know, who invented the French dip sandwich? And it's a great story, no matter what side of the fence you're on. The fact is, these two institutions that have been around for 100 years said that they invented it. You know, someone came in, they had, you know, tooth surgery, and they got the soft bread and whatnot. It's a great story. The fact that Kohl's is closing, and guys, I mean, this has been a really tough year for downtown Los Angeles establishments. The Pantry, they close in March. You know, the train car, one of the Pacific Dining Car, sorry, they closed in March. So, you know, listen, I don't want to get political, but you hope that Los Angeles can find a way. Like, if a restaurant has been around for 100 years, I mean, Los Angeles doesn't have a ton of history. It's a little bit like Las Vegas. When you have a place that's been around for 100 years, you got to find a way to keep them going.
So I got a text earlier from Adam Hill, and he was like, you know, Mr. Vegas, and he had a bunch of mad faces. And he said, I got to ask you a question. We're going to put you on the griddle. Our friends over at the Sin City Sports Beat, we're putting together a Mount Rushmore of Vegas sports. It doesn't necessarily just have to be athletes. Give me one nominee, because you're Mr. Vegas. That's what Adam Hill told me to say. Give me one nominee when you think of Vegas, someone involved in sports who needs to be one of the four faces.
Well, listen, so you said it doesn't have to be a player, right?
Correct.
Okay, so, I mean, the reason that I'm going to say Jerry Tarkanian is that it is my favorite statue. Anyone that goes to Thomas and Mack, I say, hey, take a second. Like, don't immediately go up the stairs. Go right. There's a chair right next to Tark. That was my first love of Las Vegas sports. whenever I sit down with our good friend Willie Ramirez, I'm like, tell me about the old days. Tell me what it was like to cover Tarkanian. So, listen, a lot of great players that were a part of those teams, but the one constant was the Shark himself, Jerry Tarkanian.
Damn, you nailed it. I think that sandwich is going to be on that menu permanently. Nice job.
That's right.
Nice job, Arash. You cinched it. All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you. Bye.
God, there was a small part of me hoping he would completely botch it and just name someone way the hell out in left field, although we will get to someone who can play left field and center field and first base. We'll come back. Cofield and Company. Grab bag is on the way. We're live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar right here inside Treasure Island.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Willie, do I need to rise early on Saturday to watch some flag football?
Just got the text from Canton, Ohio. The Apex Predators, a.k.a. Henderson Raiders, have been moved into the 9 a.m. ESPN National slot. So not ESPN Plus, not Disney Plus. ESPN will be broadcasting the Austin, Texas versus Henderson, Nevada flag football game. I believe quarterfinal in the NFL Flag Championships tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. And by the way, Sabrina just took the lead. It looks like Sabrina and KP, Kelsey Plum, only one left to shoot, Alicia Gray, in the three-point to see who goes to, I believe they have a finals. I can't remember if they do a finals or whoever wins, wins. Can't remember if they do a...
Well, they better have a shootout between the top two.
Well, I thought that... Oh, yes, they do, because I think they did that with the skills competition. So Alicia Gray's about to go. Sabrina Ionescu just took the lead. Right now, her and Kelsey Plum are the leaders. Alicia
How good was Plum? I watched Citron freaking light it up. Yeah, did Plum go beyond 20?
Yeah.
Holy crap. They're shooting pretty well.
Yeah, and Alicia Gray is going right now.
I love shooting that little ball. It's awesome. She's off to a good start.
Well, she's the reigning champ.
She just bricked that one. All right, well, before we get out of here, we'll at least get you the finals matchup. In the bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Willie, you know things often before I do when it comes to the Raiders. Did you know there was a change with the Raiders radio color analyst?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't either. I just saw it come down a little while ago. I hope all is well with Lincoln Kennedy. It says here Lincoln is going to continue to offer his expert assessments on Raiders pre- and post-radio, but Kirk Morrison is going to take over as Horowitz's partner.
I did not know that. I will have to reach out to him, but he's been very good to us during the season. He jumps on every few weeks, every 4, 5, 6 weeks whenever we ask and joins us. So hope all is well, and it's you know, partly his decision or something to step away, not sure. But I definitely will reach out.
I'm proud of Kirk. Kirk and I used to do shows. I'm not even going to go here. I was going to make a stupid joke. Kirk and I used to do shows here and there on Bleacher Report Radio back to, like, probably 2018 or 17, so I was going to say something stupid, so I won't even say it. But he's a really good talk show radio guy, too, and he's still doing a lot of SiriusXM. So I like that. Kirk's good, and if you're basically adding another voice to the family of Raiders former player analyst. They have quite the crew there now in total.
All right, before we get back in the bag, the last 2 years' champions of the three-point shootout will be in the finals. It looks like Alicia Gray versus Sabrina Ionescu.
Wow, what a shootout.
Alicia and Sabrina tied with 25 points. Kelsey Plum had 22. Lexi Hull with 20. Sonia Citron with 19. So the last two champions, last year was Alicia Gray, 2023 Sabrina Ionescu, both with 25 points in the first round. They will battle it out in the finals coming up in a couple of seconds.
In the bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
You happy to see Von Miller back in the league with the Commies?
That team's going to be sneakily good out of that NFC East, right?
Says a lot, right, that Von Miller certainly wants to win. I think he can still give something to a team. And, you know, now the Commanders, under new ownership, with a star quarterback, the image of the team has changed basically instantly in like a year and a half.
Not just the image, but the culture, which is important when you see someone like of his stature in terms of you know, the experience, the veteranism that he brings. He obviously believes in it, and he sees that, hey, we're going to do our job on the defensive side, and I'm going to see to it that everyone buys in because we got a young stud on the other side that could lead that offense.
Always like to bring in Griffin now at the end of the show. This will be a tradition, so I hope he's prepared. Griffin, what do you have on the docket this weekend? You getting crazy? You're the young guy on the show. Come on now.
Oh, I am going to be perched up in my bed watching the great Dustin Poirier take one more walk to that octagon, baby.
All right. We'll try to get a little crazy. Willie, great job this week. Really appreciate the help last couple days at Mountain West Conference Media Day. Mateo, thank you. Thanks to Mr. Ruffin and the folks here at Treasure Island.